Well, this afternoon, everyone, it's great to be with you here in Dufuniac Springs and all of you coming for this very special occasion. And we certainly want to make the most of it, rejoice in our time before God and also with one another. And we're told in the scripture that one of our very important reasons for existing in our calling right now is that we are to be worshiping God in spirit and truth. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. In fact, that's found in John chapter 4, verse 24, in which it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's part of the reason we're here. It's part of our appreciation for the calling of God. And he wants us to understand how vital this calling is. And we're going to look at some things that maybe you haven't thought about before. And I'd like to share that with you this afternoon. Because the topic we're going to cover is one you might think, well, I know about that. No, you don't. You don't. I don't. Nobody really understands the full scope of the topic we're going to cover today. It's one we should know, but it's one we neglect all too often. And this is a hot topic for us because it's vital for our spiritual health and well-being. Now, we know that as human beings, and I'd like to begin with this thought in mind, in order to live as a human being, there are three things that we have to have. We have to have food, we have to have water, and we have to have air with oxygen in it. That's vital for our physical well-being. But when it comes to our spiritual well-being, have you ever stopped to consider what are the vital elements there? Well, the first one that we need to look at is considered the Word of God. That's where the food comes from the Word of God, the Bible. Then something else we need. We need to be in spiritual health by having the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. Why? Because when it is involved in our individual lives, what does it say? It says, out of your belly will come rivers of living water. There's a spiritual connection there. Now, the last one, you might not wonder, well, where is this one? What would this third one be? Because we need air, yeah. Well, what we need spiritually is prayer. Prayer, and that's what we're going to take a close look at today. This is a subject that is vital to our well-being. Ancient Israel, in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, God talked about Israel from time to time and some of the things they were doing. And one of the elements he mentions there in that verse, he says, my people have forgotten me days without number. You and I are guilty of the same thing. Sometimes we get so busy, we forget to pray like we should. And sometimes we throw what I call generic prayers up to God. We just throw some things at him because we're expected to pray. But that's not what God wants to hear from us. What he wants to have is a personal interchange with us, a conversation, just like you would talk to your friends or anyone else. He wants it to be intimate. And so what he has done, he has given us this wonderful area of prayer that is a spiritual lifeline in communication with God. Because how do you talk to God? You talk to him in prayer. But if you don't see him as a real person, or personage, better put, and talk to him like you would talk to another physical human being, then what do you have? You don't have a two-way conversation. He speaks to us through the Word of God. We speak to him in prayer. Now, I got to thinking about this. You know, this gets into a very interesting element. Because if you go without food, what ends up happening? You can die of starvation. Starvation. What happens if you go for long periods of time without water? You could die from dehydration. And what happens if somebody would put a pillow over your face and cut off your air supply and no oxygen or whatever it might be? What would happen then? You would die of asphyxiation. 1, 2, 3. The same way like physical you could end up losing your physical life. Spiritually, you can end up losing your spiritual life if you lose communication with God. Because we all know and believe the Bible that's before us. We believe that. That's why we're here. And we also understand it's so important to have the Holy Spirit. Because the goodness of God has done what? It has led us to the awareness of our need for God in our life. Romans 2 talks about that, and it says, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. And what do you do then? Well, you realize you have to repent of your sins. You have to be baptized. You have to have hands laid upon you, as the scripture says. Why? To receive the vital ingredient that we can't function without. We have to have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then does what? It dwells in us, and so it gives us the mind of Christ so that we can begin to then what? Have a relationship with God. But now what else has to be added? Prayer. How would you feel if someone was in conversation with you and they just give you a few generic words here and there? Would you really feel I have a relationship? I ask myself this very important question. How often has God been pleased with my prayers, and how often has he been displeased? You have to ask yourself that, because you know, sometimes we serve some very weak and feeble prayers before God. God wants us to know he's there to supply our every need, and he wants us to do. He says, if you are evil and you know to do good things for your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? He'll give you that added strength that you need. So what I have chosen to do is just to give a guideline on this subject of prayer, and I want us to think about this, because if we neglect prayer, and we just heard about the adversary there in the sermonette, what is his job? What would he like to do most of all? Number one, he doesn't want you to study the Bible. He wants you to just get away from it. You don't need the Bible. And definitely, Holy Spirit, what's that? Who needs the Holy Spirit? And number three, if he can keep you so busy coming and going all the time, you've now been distracted and you've been cut off as far as your communication lifeline. How well would a diver, for example, inland water, going down in the water, if that umbilical cord that supplies the air to him, if that gets cut off, how long does he last down there? Not too long. Do you and I think we can last because we're so smart that we can do better and we don't have to pray? When you read the accounts of Jesus, and he faced every day that roaring lion seeking to cause problems in his life. And what did he do? He prayed to his Heavenly Father. He was daily. I can't imagine Jesus going a day or forgetting his Heavenly Father and saying, oh, I have not talked to God, my Father, for the last couple, 3 days. No, he prayed constantly. In fact, when it came time to determine his disciples, what did it say? It says he prayed all night. When was the last time any of us prayed all night? Answer, none of us. It's hard. People have said over the years, you know, I don't know what to pray about. You don't know what to pray about? Shame on all of us. We should be praying about anything and everything. Our friends, the church, and where we're going. And God, please help us in these trying times in which we're living. I can't make it on my own, and you can't make it on your own. We need God working in and through us to accomplish his will. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Fear, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a lot to lose on this. The stakes are high. We can't afford to just treat this in a haphazard manner. In fact, I'm convinced that's where we're all having some of our serious problems, because Revelation 3 says we're struggling with a Laodicean spirit. And you can see it in the action and the behavior of people. And what does he say? And if he says, well, you're not cold and you're not hot, I wish you were one and the other, so it means those people whom God loves, he loves them, and he's warning us in our time frame. And we're living in a dangerous age. It's threatening our very spiritual existence. And what God is telling us, he says, look, I want you to understand some things. And then he goes on. I'll let you read Revelation 3 for yourself. But he outlines something. He says, you've kind of slipped into this. You think you have it, you're rich and increased with goods, and we are blessed like no other generation. We are blessed to have things that past generations have never had. We need to thank God every day for it. But one thing is very clear. People today are losing their love for religion, for teaching. They don't want to hear about the Bible anymore. Part of the reason, I personally believe, is the fact that they're ignorant of the Bible and they don't want to admit that they don't know when you ask them questions about the Bible. And then first thing, it shows a deficiency. But yet they walk around like they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And he says, don't you see you are wretched and poor and blind? Now, brethren, who blinds us? Who's the God of this world that blinds? You don't think he blinds you at times? He blinds all of us at times. I wish that were not the case. But we're human. And because we're human and he knows our weaknesses, all he has to do is have the right set of circumstances and he can make you think this and make you think that, and it's not necessarily so. And so you really have to pull yourself back and look at yourself very carefully. That's one of the reasons Romans 15 and verse 4 was written. Join me there very quickly. Very important scripture. I love to reference this anytime I'm talking with God's people because it says a lot for all of us. It gets us back into the meat of God's word. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says the following, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, the things that have been recorded and preserved down for us so that we can learn from their mistakes, so we don't have to repeat and do the same thing that they did. In fact, that's the warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He's telling the church of God, be careful of what happened back there. Remember what happened to physical Israel. Don't make that same blunder, that same mistake. But he says these things are written for our learning. That's the point I want to stress. All of us are in a state of learning. We all learn on different levels. Young and old alike, we're all in a learning process, and we don't learn it all at once. But boy, you have to have a hunger and a thirst to learn and ask God to help you see what you cannot see without his help. That's why he says, you're wretched and blind and you don't see. Well, how do you get unblind? You have to talk to God about that and tell him in your prayers, give me eyes to see. Help me understand what I can't see about myself or maybe other situations that come up. There's a roaring lion out there, and I've got to be on the guard according to your scriptures. And he says that in this learning process, that through patience and comfort, you have to be patient. Don't expect everything to happen overnight. And then he says, and comfort of the scriptures. Now, you know, I look around today and I see a lot of people who are discomforted. They're filled with anxieties, frustrations, and problems. Why? They're not getting any comfort. I heard a psychiatrist being evaluated here recently. This individual had a problem and went for some therapy. Went to three different psychologists or psychiatrists, I guess you'd call them, and asked for help. Got three different opinions. This one says, well, this is the reason you have this problem. This is the reason you have that. So three different therapies, three different opinions. What does that tell you? The Bible says, avoid science falsely so called. They call it the psychiatrist, you know, and they got their books and they've got all this stuff. And they're going to tell you who you are and why you're like you are and what. They don't even know themselves. They have their own problems and they probably have to go to psychiatrists themselves trying to straighten themselves out. But we have the blessing of the Word of God. And the Word of God is very pointed in this area. And it says that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we do what? We have hope. We have the hope that passes absolute, incredible understanding to us that the kingdom of God is a reality. And you and I know it is a reality, but most people don't understand what the kingdom of God is. You and I are so blessed by having that. Well, what prayer is being shown in the Bible to us? And in Romans chapter 12 And in verse 12, we're told, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Notice, instant in prayer. Why? What it's telling us from the Word of God is that we have to persevere in prayer. I don't know if you've ever run into it. Have you ever had, in baseball they call it, they get into a slump and they lose their rhythm. Have you ever had a slump in your prayer life? Oh yeah, we all have. Anyone who says they haven't, they're lying to themselves. They're living a distorted life. They're not living reality. You have to fight and realize it is a struggle of perseverance. You have to make yourself. That's why it says, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling in Philippians 2. But know, what do we know? That it is God who works in and through you. You're not doing it. It is God at work in you doing these things that glorify him. It says that makes it possible to have the will of God done in your life. You and I can't do it of ourselves, folks. And the quicker we recognize that and realize, I gave you that little bit there about events that are happening in the world is crumbling. We used to talk about it back in the 1960s, and we used to say, boy, you know, these things are going to come. Who would have believed we're sitting here today in 2020? Look what's happened. And all that, what did that tell? Did that tell us we were wrong? Not with the truth of God, but our timing was way off. We talked about things we have no right to even, it's a shame to us, because we said, well, this is going to be, you know, and it didn't happen. Didn't happen. And that threw a real terrible curve in the life of a lot of people because they were spiritually lost. Well, I thought this was going to happen. I thought that was going to happen. And so, again, a lot of people started just wandering spiritually. And I think there are a lot of people still wandering today. But God knows who the people are who have their hearts with him. The United Church of God strives to live up to that code. We're not a perfect organization, but we strive to be perfect, to glorify God. Because we don't worship an organization. We worship a God. Remember, he called us to worship him in spirit and truth. United gives us this opportunity so that we can speak freely about the things of God. That has not always been the case over the years, and I think many of us have realized that and had to grow that when people said, we're God's church. Oh, is that right? What happened to God's church? You trust in lying words, the prophet Jeremiah says. You trust in lying words, the temple of the Lord. You put your stock in an organization rather than the God who allows organizations to exist to do his will. And when you put it in its proper perspective, then you begin to realize how God works mightily through organizations to preach the gospel to the kingdom of God to this world. And that's what we're striving to do to the best of our ability. But the time is getting close, brethren, as never before. Now, we're told in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for. You're survivors. You're here. You're still carrying on. How many times have we witnessed people who have been very close to us? They've been just like we're here today, but they're not here anymore. Because what happens? You know, you fall back into old habits. And when you do away with what you're supposed to be doing, where do you go? Back to the old ways you used to live. And that's what's happened to people. And people say, well, how could they do that? Easy. Our habits betray us. It's called works of the flesh. It's written in Galatians chapter 5. You have it, I have it. All of us have to fight that. We have to fight the good fight of faith. We're told to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, and not the led be following in the flesh. All too often we stumble and we falter. The Scripture tells us very plainly that we're to persevere, to continue in prayer, and also being thankful to God for each and every day he gives to us to continue doing his work. And we find in Philippians chapter 4, you and I are told, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxiety prone. Don't let yourself get all worked up sweating about this and that. He says, be careful, but in everything, notice, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God. Tell him what you want to talk about. He wants to hear from us. You know, I put myself sometimes, I think about if I were sitting in God's shoes, would he be pleased with what I'm offering in a prayer to his throne? And if he's not, then the problem is not God's, it's mine. And it's yours too. And it's something we all have to recognize and ask God, where I have failed you, Almighty Father, forgive me, please. And put me on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. Have pity on me because I'm a sinful creature. I don't want to sin. I don't want to practice sin. But when I get lax, I can falter. That's reality, folks, and we have to recognize that that's what we struggle with. That's why it's called overcoming in the book of Revelation. 2:26 talks about that. If you're going to be an overcomer, what are we overcoming? Our bad habits and all the things that was contrary to the way of God. And that's just, again, Galatians chapter 5. Walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But what do you hear in the lives of most people? It's incredible how people sometimes get all petty over such silly and dumb, stupid things. And here you and I are called to be sons and daughters of God. We're called to walk in maturity, to reflect as ambassadors for Christ. That becomes very important to God. He wants to see fruit born in our lives. And if it's not there, then of course we're not overcoming. That's the sad reality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. I'm going to give you these overviews because it's just a very important part of this thing again. You know, some of you like titles, so if you want a title, let me give you the title that I have for you. Prayer is our spiritual contact with God. Our spiritual contact with God. If you haven't got that with what we've already covered, then that'll help you out, I hope. But again, without contact with God, who are you? Who am I? We're nobodies. We're not going to, you know, empires have come and gone. And if time were to go on for another 25 years, and you say, well, that can't possibly be. Oh, no, anything's possible. We never would have sat here and thought, you know, 2020. We thought 72, we're through. 75, we're still alive. 82, what's going on here? And we had the lessons to learn. We had to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We had to grow up because we were still acting like children in many ways. We thought we had all the answers to everything, and God's saying, uh-uh, no you don't. Even God's own servant Elijah, remember what he said? He said, I'm the only one. And he says, oh, Elijah, there's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You don't even know about those, but I know where they are. So we don't know what we sometimes think we know. It's what God wants us to do. He wants us to rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Now, what does that mean? Pray 24/7 every day? No, it just merely means that what God wants us to do is to pray with a perseverance and remaining in prayer as part of your life, that it means something to you. Because if it doesn't mean something to you, then why would God want to even listen to what you have to say? He wants to hear what you have to say. And so praying without ceasing, it merely means pray again and again every opportunity you have. When we go to bed at night and asleep, we can't pray then. We have to pray and ask God to protect our minds while we sleep, because sometimes people have some very bad problems at night when they sleep, simply because, again, they're taking things for granted. You and I have a relationship with God that is pictured as children. Every one of us, here we are adults, and yet we have some young children here in our midst, but we're all called children. And God, what did Jesus say? Except you receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you're going to have to be taught how to do the way of God. You didn't learn it in this world. I didn't learn it in this world. We never came into this world and have everything taught to us about the way of God. We've heard about things. Even Job says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. You know, I heard about what you did. But now my eye sees you. am just devastated by what I see. And see, that's what all of us have to struggle with. We don't see God as he really is sometimes. We have this fictitious idea. He is a holy God, a pure God. There's no darkness in him at all. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't play games. He doesn't have a hidden agenda. We live in a world where all we keep hearing about is what? Corruption, corruption, corruption. You don't find that with God. And so God is doing what? He's perfecting holiness in all of us. He's getting rid of the corruption in our lives, and he's bringing us to where we can call him as Abba Father. We understand him as our real spiritual father. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. So these are some things the Bible keeps emphasizing about prayer. That God has not given us the spirit of bondage, but a spirit that allows us to do what? Call him as our Father in heaven. To know that we have a loving Father, a God who truly does love us. A lot of people have false ideas about God because God has been so malign and misrepresented in the world, to you, to me, to others. That's why a lot of people are, oh, God is going to get you for that. Oh? If he wanted to get us, we heard it, you know, he's not appointed us unto wrath, but to salvation. He doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to save us. And thank God that we have a wonderful high priest at the right hand of God that's there calling on our behalf each and every day. No, prayer is not to be a ritual, but a meaningful exchange between two individuals, God the Father and to you. When he had those disciples and he had to figure out, you know, he had to spend all night, and I thought about that, and I thought, boy, how long do we pray when we pray to God? We have so many distractions, it's hard to pray. If you get 30 minutes in, you're lucky. And usually you have to grab where you can, redeem the time for the days are evil. So you get 15, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. And so like the Bible talks about through the Psalms and Scriptures, you pray in the morning when before you go to work. Ask God to take charge of that day because you don't want to go out there, face this world without God and Jesus Christ at your right hand. Then you can pray at noontime, during lunchtime. You have a few extra minutes, take the time, open the Bible, talk to God in prayer. And then the time in the evening when you go home at night from your routine, what do you do? Before you go to bed, you rehearse and reminisce. What did I do this day? Did I draw closer to God or did I drop the ball and I was going in the other direction? These are questions. See, this is not a topic of throwing stones at anyone. I'm not here to tell you anything you don't know in this regard. What I'm trying to tell you is that we have not taken this thing of prayer seriously. If we take prayer seriously, I believe dynamic changes are going to happen not only in our personal life, but in the church as a whole. We have a lot of people who are sick and afflicted with terrible problems. Some of you right here may be having some issues struggling with. You'd like to get rid of those things once and for all. Do we not have a God healer in heaven above? And did not Jesus Christ, by his stripes we are healed? Do we get results from God by saying, oh Lord, please, a lot of sick people out there, please heal them? Or do we cry out to God, we've got some dear friends out there that are really hurting, Father. And it's a terrible state of affairs and I hate to be in a situation like that. So please, lighten their burden. Help them, please. Heal them. But again, there you have to understand something about the Bible. Because sometimes people get in an attitude against God. Why? Because, well, why isn't God doing this? Why isn't God doing that? Because God's working his plan in salvation, not yours or mine. And so God delivers, and what does he deliver? He delivers in different ways. In the end time, Mr. Miss and I were talking about this. How is God going to deliver people in the end time? If you look at this very carefully, you begin to realize he says, not a hair on your head is going to be, you know, you'll be spared. Yet others are going to be martyred. Others are going to be taken to a place of safety. And others are going to die. And nobody wants to die. But it is way God, Isaiah 58, he says, you know, none considering that the death of the wicked they're going to be spared from the nightmare that is still yet to come. And if we have to face that nightmare, may God grant us the strength and help of his holy angels to be with us, because I'll tell you, it ain't going to be nice. It's going to be ugly. And there is things going on in this world right now, and you don't have to know the truth of God. All you have to do is say, I'm a Christian. Bang, that's enough. They're persecuting the daylights out of you in the Middle East. They're persecuting in China. They're persecuting everywhere. Well, hey, isn't there a seal that's supposed to open up and something about persecution? Yeah. What is creeping up on all of us? Are we asleep? Are we watching and praying? You see, Jesus said, watch and pray, because you're going to see things. But unless God opens your eyes to see it, it can go right past you. And I believe a lot of things have gone past all of us at times, and we didn't see it, simply because we were not in close contact with God to ask him for the eyes to see and ears to hear and an understanding heart. Once we did that, bingo, we began to see things we couldn't see before. But like everything, we're all subject to what I call mental, emotional, and psychological drift. And we start drifting from our base. We have to stay on the trunk of that tree that God has given us, a tree that is unshakable. When we get out on branches, like we've been told for many years, if you get on branches and you start playing around with twigs and arguing about this and struggling about that, what happens? People get into attitudes, things they shouldn't do. They get upset with their brothers and sisters in Christ. Shouldn't do that. They get upset with God. Why? He's not doing what I want him to. He's not in business to do what we want him to. He's in business to save us so that we can be part of what he wants to do. And that's our goal, and our everyday prayer should be. No, remember when we used to be little children? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If you should die before you wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. We just mumbled words. We didn't know what we were talking about. We didn't know what the soul was. But it sounded good. It got us by. So here we are as individuals now, adult members in the church of God. And what is God telling us? That we are going to face some of the greatest trials in human history. How do we know that? Because he says it's going to be a time like no other, and that God is going to have to cut it short. He said, because if he didn't, there would be no flesh saved alive. Now, you know, I know every one of us in this room have family members. They're not members of the Church of God that we attend. Do we pray for them? We should pray for them. They don't know how much they need God in their lives, but you know. And so you are the defense mechanism, and you don't have any understanding as to how God might respond for that prayer that you poured out in front of us, because they're like sweet odors, it says in the book of Revelation, coming up before God. And when you have somebody that you pray about, your family and your loved ones, it's amazing what God can do. Things that you and I would never be able to do. You can't say anything that's going to change anyone. You know the old saying, a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. Why are you and I here? Because God crushed us. He crushed our vanity. He crushed our know-it-all attitudes that we have answers to everything. And he says, you still playing that game? Are you still going to be children, or are you going to grow up and be my sons and daughters? Well, these are the things that I believe prayer plays such an important part. Jesus, if you study the gospel account of Jesus and look at everything regarding prayer, what you're going to discover is he was a man of prayer constantly. He prayed over the food. He prayed when disciples. He prayed on and on and on. He was an individual. And that's what hit me like a ton of bricks. There could not have been a day without Jesus talking to keep this communication alive, because he knew Satan would want to cut that relationship with his Father. You read about that battle and that attack in Matthew chapter 4, where Satan kept attacking him and coming at him. And he used the Bible, the Word of God, where he got his food supply spiritually. And he called upon God for the Spirit of God to give him the ability to resist the power of the devil. And guess what? Because he was in prayerful contact with the Father, the devil departs. I think we need to start casting the devil out wherever he's trying to make inroads into our lives to try to create problems for him. We've got enough problems in this world. We don't need the devil and his demons hanging around, adding all kinds of things. But you know, if you're not watching and praying, what does the scripture say there in 1 Timothy chapter 3? In the end time, there will be many people who will be caught up with seducing spirits. Spirits. Where are they? They're looking for people with bad attitudes. Why? They attach themselves behind those bad attitudes. I'm not talking about spirit possession. I'm talking about just individuals that manifest attitudes that are not biblical. And so what ends up happening is that people don't realize what's going on because they forget that invisible force behind the scenes. Always looking to find out what kind of person is this? What kind of person is that? Oh, this person gets angry real quick. Good. Oh, here comes a spirit of anger. And these powerful spirits do what? They magnify these attitudes. And this is what we have witnessed in the lives of many people. I one time wondered just the same when, you know, people get upset and they worry about this and they get on their high horse and they're all about this and that. And I say, why are you offended? Well, because of this, blah, 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 blah. They want to give you all this drama. I'm not interested in the drama. All this, why that. I'm interested in knowing, why are you upset? Well, it's because I said, no. I'll just ask this question. It says, if you love the law of God, nothing shall offend you. And if you're all hot and bothered and offended, it means you don't love the law of God that you profess to love. Because that law says you are going to be what? At peace. Peace is given to those who obey the law of God. So anyway, if there's one thing the devil wants, he does not want you or me or all of God's people to pray. Why? It cuts off our umbilical cord to God. And then you're out there trying to make it happen on your own terms. And you're going to sink every time. And God says, how many times do you have to falter? And until you learn that lesson, it'll go back and be repeated again and again until you repent of that and move on. You know, any mother who has a child in her womb would understand this better than any of us men. As long as that child is moving around in there, mom's very happy. If she doesn't get that movement, she begins to get concerned. If something should happen, that umbilical cord that supplies the food, the water, and the oxygen needed for that little baby's life to be sustained. If the baby comes out and the cord is wrapped around its neck and the air supply was cut off, what do you have called a stillborn? A stillborn. And that's a real trauma to have a stillborn. Many people have wondered a lot of times, I wonder what's going to happen to some of these people who have had stillborn children. I personally believe God's going to resurrect them. The reason I say that is just one man's opinion. And I say it for this reason. With God, all things are possible, and I don't believe man, no matter how much he tries to stop the things of God, he will not succeed. God may allow certain things to happen temporarily, but God will come thundering through, and everyone is going to one day understand that there is a God who rules in the kingdoms of men. And today, people do not know that God exists. You and I have insight along that line. Let's be thankful and pray to God and tell him how much we appreciate the wonderful blessing that he made you in his image, male and female. You know, there's a lot of women today that have been all messed up mentally because of the so-called feminist movement. You don't find the feminist movement in the Bible. You find femininity, a wonderful gift of femininity that is given to every woman to honor God in her femininity. Not to be like these feminists that are saying, well, you don't need a man in your life. Oh, yeah, a lot of women do need. I mean, there are women that maybe not, but most of the women like to have a man in their life. And most men would like to have a woman in their life or be around them. They're pretty nice to have around. And so God has purposed that, you know, that you interface with one another. He wants us to rejoice in what he has done. So, dear brethren, I'll just close here and again say, if there's one thing the devil wants to do, he wants to destroy your prayer life. He wants to choke you off spiritually. And if he can do that, he's got it made, because you and I can't resist him. We don't have the power. James chapter 4, it says you're to do what? And this is something that you've heard it and I've heard. I've heard people say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. No, he will not. It says, submit yourself first to God and then resist the devil, because now you will be armed with the power of God behind you. And you can cast him out of your thoughts in your mind if he's troubling you or causing problems, but don't ever try to do that on your own. It doesn't work. It really doesn't work. We need God's help more than we realize. Well, dear brethren, it's been my pleasure to be here with you today. I hope this has been helpful. It's amazing how things work. I mean, you have an outline, you have certain things you want to cover. It's not in there. I don't know what happened to it. Because other things come to mind, other things that need to be covered. And I've tried to speak to you from the heart to just alert you all to know we're all in grave danger, brethren. We really are. And we need God's help as never before. That's minister or layperson. It makes no difference. God is not a respecter of persons. Ministers don't sit on a higher rank. They're just more accountable to God. And you're going to be accountable for your actions as well. May God help us all to see the seriousness, as we heard in the song. We are accountable for what we say and what we do.